Have your Bibles in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. Remember to pray for those that are sick. We have several in our church family that are not feeling well, and we pray for them. And really, as you go back tonight, I want you to catch this statement in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. Now, we're finding that, of course, Elijah has stood before Ahab. He has pronounced that there will be no rain upon the land of Israel for some 3 years. God carried him to the brook Cherith. There we find that the Bible says in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while. Note that statement, and it came to pass after a while. Now, as we come to verse 17 tonight, we of course found him at Zarephath. We found him with, God sent him to the widow, and she was to feed him. But note the statement in verse 17, and what does it say? And it came to pass after these things. Now that really teaches us tonight what we're really going to point in on. And we're going to speak to you tonight, as the Lord's laid on my heart as I've tried to study this week. When it rains, it seems to pour. Have you ever seen that and thought that in your life? When it rains, that is, when trouble comes, oftentimes it seems to pour. You know, here lately we've had rains. Last week I saw in the paper in Florence, they had rain. And I'll tell you, it seemed to pour. There was flooding in the streets and so forth, and it just poured. Well, in this statement tonight, and it came to pass, it teaches you and I that when we maybe experience a trial, that we might say to ourselves, well, I've experienced the trial. That's my trial. No more trouble. No more trials to come. That's not the way life is it? And it came to pass. That teaches us that we're going to experience, no doubt, more than one trial in our lives. I'm not trying to be negative tonight, and I'm not trying to rain on your party tonight, but I'm just stating the fact, reality of life, and the Word of God. Sometimes when it rains, it pours. Well, the Bible says that in this widow's life, there was a problem. She really nearly came to death when she starved her and her son. But it wasn't death. But now we've come tonight to verse 17, and she is going to experience death in its reality, the death of her son. So as we look tonight, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore, that is so strong, that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon thy widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child 3 times, cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber to the house. He delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. As we note, as we've studied in these experiences in Elijah's life, really we have the calling of Elijah. Now you notice there's more than just one call to Elijah. He called him to Cherith. He's called him now to Zarephath. And we're going to experience later on that God is going to call Elijah. God calls each of us. Each of us are called of God. I think of what the Bible says in John 11, verse 28. The Master come and calleth for thee. God calls us. God calls us tonight to salvation. We're called of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 4, there is one body and there is one spirit. Even as you're called unto your calling. God invites us. We do not invite ourselves. God invites us to come unto Him. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. let him that heareth say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Oftentimes people say, well, I'll get saved when I get ready to get saved. That's the wrong theology. That's just their theory. Theory is just their way of belief. Listen, we're saved by God's terms. And God's terms is, if I understand the Scriptures tonight, is that God's Word, the Gospel, goes forth. The Holy Spirit takes the seed of that Gospel. He implants it in our hearts. He brings conviction. And then He'll bring conversion in our life. But it's God that sends out the invitation. And it's by invitation only. God invites us. God calls us to salvation. What a privilege it is for God to step out in our lives and intervene and call us to be saved. What a wondrous calling that is. That is the greatest calling in life. That is the greatest calling in life, is when God calls you and I to be His child, to be a part of His family. What a calling that is. And then we find that God calls us to service. The Master's come and calleth for thee. Paul said, unto me, who am the least of all least, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. My, it is a calling that God calls us into service. I believe the ministry has a particular calling unto the man of God, that He calls him to preach His Word. Someone was asking Spurgeon one time to defend or to explain to them that the calling and why the calling of God in salvation and so forth. And he said, my, that's not the mystery to me. The mystery to me is why God would even call me to preach His Word. Such an unworthy vessel as I am, God calls men to proclaim His Word. Once again, that's God's business, who He calls. You know, there are a lot of times in my life, and I have to say this, there are a lot of times in my ministry that I look back over that I'd have called some man to preach. I'd have looked and I said, you're the man. That is, I look and he studied, he gave himself, and I said, you know, he'd make a good preacher. Well, that's Danny Stanford. That's Danny making him. That's not Danny's business. That's God. And sometimes God can look out, and as I say, He can pick what we would think would be the worst old boy, and He can take and He can call him by His grace, and he preaches God's Word. What a wonderful calling it is. I think of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 verse 8. Who will go for us? Who? And the Bible says that Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. You know, the greatest compliment as I look back over my ministry over the years, is not a message I preach. The greatest compliment to my ministry was a lady came out one night in a revival service and made the statement, Brother Danny, I believe if anybody has ever been called to preach, it's you. That's the greatest compliment that's ever been bestowed upon my life. And I can say what's kept me in the ministry this long is that God's call upon my life. I'll be honest with you. In my flesh, I'd want to quit. And you say, you're quitting. I'm not quitting preaching. But in my flesh, many times I'd want to quit. But you listen, it's that call of God that burns within, that keeps us in and keeps us preaching the gospel, that keeps us studying and looking into God's Word. God calls us to share the gospel. Every one of us. God calls us to be sharers of the gospel. Did you know something? This week, perhaps, and we thank and pray for, that God will lead or call some of us in this building to share the glorious gospel to a lost person this week. Remember the example of Philip? That what did the Bible say? That as he was coming and as he was there at Jerusalem, the Spirit saith unto him, go near that chariot. What was that? The call upon Philip's life to go and share the gospel to that Ethiopian eunuch who needed Christ in his life. I believe God leads us and God directs us to people. Only you can win them to the Lord. That I might not have any effect on at all, you might, I might, in our lives. And then we know that God calls us even in death.
I believe that. I mean, listen, God will echo that call, and I can say tonight, whether it's in death or whether our Lord comes for us, we're going to go to be with the Lord. He's going to call us. What a calling that is. Either way, we're going to see Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we find tonight that God tells Elijah, arise and go to Zarephath. And then we find something else, as I said in this text, and it came to pass. That is the color of the problem. One trial doesn't mark or end all trials. As I was studying for this message, I thought about a lady. And I can put you where she is today. And I thought about this lady. And it seems like, and she loves the Lord. She's been so faithful to the Lord, to His work, to teach, and so forth. But I think about her life, and I think about the children that she's lost, and how that, they've been affected. And I just thought, one trial seemingly leads to another trial. Sometimes in life, it does. In our lives, as we say, it rains, it pours. A.W. Pink, let me read his statement concerning this. He says, we live in a mutable, that is, changing world, where nothing is stable, where life is full of strange vicissitudes or visits. He says, we cannot and should not expect things to go smoothly for us any length of time while we sojourn in a land of sin and mortality. How true that is. So tonight we come, and there was the different problems that this lady faced. There was famine, and then ultimately there was death that visited her house. Look in the book of James chapter 1 tonight. James chapter 1. And find verse 2. When we talk about the different color of trials that come our way. Listen what James says. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And the word temptation there, understand, is trials. Divers. Look at that word divers. Divers, of course, means different. That is, they're different colors. And we know that they try our faith as they come. You know, we were at the revival service Tuesday night. I never met Brother Edgell. And he brought out a statement. I believe his wife passed away several months ago or a year or so ago. But Brother Edgell made out a statement that I caught me as he made that statement Tuesday night. And he said, you know, it seemed like there was a long time that death never visited our family. We never experienced death close to our family. But you know, his wife passed away, or his dad some way, and or his mother, I believe it was. He said, you know, it seems like we have just began experiencing death in our family. Sometimes we go long lengths, and we say trials, we haven't experienced them. At other times, they seem like they're just one after another in our lives. Divers means many colored. And they are manifold. We sang the song tonight, manifold blessings. Manifold. With every trial, as I understand in the Scripture, God has a color of grace to meet that trial. Look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. We find the word manifold in the Greek. And it means simply different colored. I look, and if you'd ask me tonight what a manifold was, I would say, well, look on your automobile. The other day I was working on my tractor and I got too close to the manifold, and you can see what happened. It burnt me. That to me would be a manifold. But here the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What's he telling us? The different colors of God's grace. Every trial, God has a color of grace to meet that trial, to give strength to us in our lives. So tonight we're going to go through these verses, and again I hope that God not only speaks to you, but God ministers to you in your life as we look at these verses tonight. We find, first of all, the calamity the trial produced. Now the word calamity simply means trouble. Brother Dale in his lesson this morning used the word calamity three times, I believe, in the book of Amos, wasn't it, Brother Dale? I think it was that the word calamity was used. Well, tonight, if you'll turn to Psalm 57 and verse 1, you find what a calamity is. As we note, it's a problem or a trouble, trial that is experienced in our lives. The Bible says, be merciful to me, O God. be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Now look, until the calamities be overpassed, until the problems pass. So tonight we find that the calamities, the problems that were experienced in this lady's life. And as I speak to you tonight, there are some of you that have just come through a great trial. Some of you are in a great trial. And some of you are going out of a trial. But either way, we've all experienced a trial.
Brother Terry, I was talking about Brother Houston. We want to pray for him. Mentioned he just had a down day or up a down day. And said, asked me, did I ever have one of those? Brother Terry, I say again, I stay in one most of the time. Most of the times I have a bad hair day. You can look at it in life. God blesses, but I just have a bad hair day, so to speak, many times. But as you look at this trial, I want you to note something. We find the first one is this. She is, note as you go back and look at verse, I believe it's verse 7 along there, it says this. I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That was the first time that Elijah met this lady, and that was what she said. She said, today will probably be the last day that I live and my son upon the earth, because we will starve. That's a trial. That's something to experience. But now look at verse 17 again, and note the second trial that she faces. Now this is sometimes later. Remember we fed that Bible says to us that what? That barrel didn't fail her? That cruise did not, of oil didn't fail her, that it was there, and it continued, and it failed not. But here we find time has moved on, and guess what? As time has moved on, another trial is experienced. And the Bible says, to us, death become a reality. It came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, as the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was sore. And it was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And we know that it was so strong that he died. So we find there's something happening in this lady's life. Now I want you to note an emotion she had. I can just experience it with her. Every day she came and she went to that barrel of flour. Her heart must have been so thrilled, so blessed, as she took from that barrel and she made her cakes. And my, the cruise of oil, every day must have brought rejoicing to her heart. How that her heart was filled with so much happiness. As she continued day in and day out, the needs of her family was being met. Her son was living. How their heart was filled with happiness. But folk, I want to tell you something. Here is a problem that produced what? That robbed her of her happiness. Here is a circumstance that comes in her life that robs her of the happiness that she was experiencing in her life. And as we look tonight, circumstances can come, problems can come that get us down, that rob us of the, so to speak, joy in our life. Oftentimes we let people rob us of the joy that comes in our life. Sometimes we let problems as we let them affect our lives. Spurgeon says sorrows are, listen, visitors that come unwelcomely in our lives. That is, we don't send an invitation to them. They just come to our lives. And here we find her happiness was filled with heartache. As no doubt as she helped that son, and she helped that son, and life went out of that son, her heart was broken. You would expect that. Sadness came to her life. And as we look here today, sometimes in our lives, we face such trials. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalm that, listen, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What is he saying? Weeping may endure for a night. There is a time we weep in our lives. I think of what Solomon said. There is a time to weep. There's a time to make laughter. A time to cry. A time for joy. As you look in life, Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, weighs for us a far weight of glory in our lives. Problems will come We experience them in our lives. So here is a problem. Here is a calamity that this lady faces in her life. We look at it and we say, there's no way out. There's no way out. But I want to show you something else as you move on in this text tonight. Listen what it says in verse 18. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Here we find anxiety that has filled her life. My, as we find her this morning, she was welcoming Elijah without hesitation. Compliance with what Elijah said to her concerning going to take the last morsel of meal she had. She was in such compliance with this prophet. But here we find her questioning the prophet of God as he comes and he says, Have you brought this to our life? Have you brought this to our family? My, as you look at that, look what happens. The trial makes her become bitter in her life. She is bitter. There's many emotions that fill her life. And I want to examine some of these emotions tonight. First of all, look at the trial that's questioned. You say, Brother Daniel, what is it? First of all, you find that there may be guilt that she's remembering. Look at that as it says, have you called a sin to my remembrance? Guilt, maybe, that she's saying, my, is it something that I have done in the past that you're bringing back to me? Now, here's something we need to understand. We need to understand this. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Amen. And we ought to do what? Bury them. Put them away and throw away the key. Because I'll tell you what, God has forgotten them, and God has cast them into the sea of what? Forgetfulness. We were going home at lunch. Of course, I tell Francis how to drive. And if you go down 19 and see a mess, it's her. She made it. I say she made it, she helped it. We were going home and somebody had threw a garbage bag out. And I said, watch it. And she ran right over that garbage bag. And my paper and everything went. I said, look, I was too close on it, she said. But I'm telling you. And you say, well, what are you saying? There's no way you're going to go and pick up the pieces. They're just scattered everywhere. And folk, I want to tell you something. When God forgives us, He doesn't scatter it. He forgives it. He hides it in the blood of Jesus. Here we find guilt comes back up in her life. Is it something that I have done that has caused my son to be taken from me? This week, we were blessed. Our two little boys came back to visit us. You know who the two little boys with, Matthew and John. They came up to visit us, walked up one day, really 2 days this week. And they're still little boys, I'll tell you what. They're still Matthew and John. They haven't changed, thank God for that. But here the other day, when we found out what Rob was telling us, what had happened to Sarah, Val, he made the statement, he said, one more little piece of guilt in my life. Because he kindly insisted that Sarah walk up to the mailbox. But Rob didn't know what was going to happen, and I tried to share. That's not your fault. You couldn't know that. But sometimes we do what? We let the motion of guilt take hold in our lives. Here was this lady, and it caused an anxiety. And the anxiety that caused it was guilt. But there was something else. Notice what she did. She blamed the prophet. Look, it's you that has brought this trouble to our house. She blamed Elijah. Now, folk, I want to tell you something. It hadn't been just a while back that Elijah saved her and her son as he caused the meal to continue, as he asked God to continue it and the blessings flowed. But yet, she changes many times. You know, Art Linkletter made the statement one time. He said, people are funny. I'd like to talk to Art sometimes, wouldn't you? Because I'll tell you what, people can be more than funny at times. Did you know it? People can be merely fickle at times. I mean, there was a time that Jesus went into Jerusalem. And you know what they did?
They laid their branches down and they proclaimed him King Hosanna. It wasn't hours that those same people that laid branches down before him were taking up and saying these words, crucify him, crucify him. People's emotions change. Here this lady, her emotions have changed. My, now she's laying blame at the prophet's feet. But we know that it wasn't him. But if you look with me tonight at verses 19 and 20, he said unto her, give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom. She held him close, didn't she? She loved him. I never will forget, as we came here a while back and studying in our Sunday school lesson, I never will forget that great message that Dr. R.G. Lee preached, Payday Someday. Never will forget him telling a story of a woman that had a son she loved very deeply. And that son or that child died as a baby. And I never will forget him using the illustration that that night that lady asked the doctor, will you just let me hold him tonight? Even though life had gone from his body, she said, will you just let me hold him close to me tonight? And the doctor agreed, here is a lady. She's holding that son as close to her as she can. And the Bible says, as we know, it says to her, and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid upon his bed. And he cried unto the Lord, Elijah, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon thy widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her? Notice Elijah. He begins to do what? He begins to question the purposes of God and the things of God. But I can say tonight, and I believe that you can say tonight, everything that God does is right. Everything that God does is just. And God's ways are perfect. And God's ways are wonderful. And even though, as I look back at hindsight, these people were experiencing it right then and now, as they were experiencing those things, you and I, oftentimes in our own lives, question things in life. Here, even the prophet Elijah, that great man of God in his sheepskin, that great man of God, here he questions God. My Lord, is your purposes right? Is your purposes right? But note again what the Bible says he did. The Bible says again he stretched himself upon the child three times, cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of that child came into him again, and he revived. We've seen a calamity, anxiety that was concerning that trial. But now look at the opportunity that trial brought. Man's extremities leads to God's opportunities. When all hope fails, look what God can do. Here we find, as Elijah comes, I look again, and I look at Elijah's prayer life. Folk, Elijah earnestly prayed. And again, God made himself real to Elijah when he prayed. And as Elijah prayed, the Bible says he laid himself upon that child some three times. Now, I'm not going to get into theories. I'm not going to get into drawing kindly things from this. But somebody tells me the number three is the number of resurrection. So I'm not getting into those things. Only God knows. But it says three times Elijah laid himself upon that child. And in the third time, what happened? We find that life came into that child. My, an opportunity, a demonstration of God's power. All today, His power's unlimited. Here's the song that we find through it all. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms that He brought me through. For I'd never had a problem. I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith could do. Here is Elijah expressing faith in God as he prayed. And God revived the soul of that young man. My God is true. God is faithful. He can do great things if we look at Him. Now I know we've passed. And I know that there's no preacher tonight that has the power, that has the ability to grant life and give life. But folk, I want to tell you something tonight. God does. God is the great physician. Would you agree? You say, Brother Danny, Dr. So-and-so. Well, folk, I thank God for doctors. And I thank God can use the means of medicine if He chooses. But if God so chooses, God has the ability to bypass medicine, and if it's God's will, He can today. God has that ability in life. Our extremities leads to God's opportunities. Our God is able.
The little youngsters used to stand and sing a little song. Our God is able. We have an awesome God. We have an awesome God. Again, I say tonight, her assets were so few. When it came, all she had was two sticks, a little cup of flour, and a little touch of oil. Her assets were so few, but Elijah's assets were so great. What? God, my God, shall supply all your need. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. A little boy was going to Sunday school one time, and he come home from Sunday school, and his mother asked him, said, "Well, Johnny, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" And he said, "Well, the teacher taught us about Moses." "What did she say about Moses?" "Well," she said, "one time the children of Israel were coming from Egypt, and those Egyptians were coming after them. And she said, Moses instructed his engineers to build a bridge. And he said, those Egyptians kept coming with their tanks. So Moses called in the Air Force. And he called the Air Force to bomb the tanks." His mama looked at him and said, "Johnny, did the teacher tell you that story that way?" He looked at her and said, "No, she didn't. But if I told it the way she told it, you wouldn't believe it." Well, amen is just the truth. Amen. And you look at the end of this text tonight, folks, and you look at what she said about God. Listen to what it says. "This woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is what? Is truth.'" Yes, is truth. God is able. My, tonight, sometimes when it rains, it does seem to pour in our lives. It seems like we're like on a river. And I've often seen as that old river rages, it brings down a stick or something, and then the next time it brings down a log, and it brings down this. But I remember what Peter said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the honor and the praise of God. The trials we experience, God has an ultimate purpose for them. And in the end, the blessings will outweigh the burdens far greater in our lives as a Christian. I say again, my, how do people live this life without God? How? How do they experience the burdens that come their way without God in their lives? I don't see how. You say, "Brother Danny, you're weak." So be it. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be weak in Christ to be strong in Christ. And you, I'd rather be weak any day and be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray tonight that these words have ministered to your heart. And I don't know each life here tonight. God does, and only God does. But if your heart doesn't have Jesus, my prayer is that if the Holy Spirit touches your heart, that you'd invite Christ in by repentance and faith. But tonight, you've experienced a trial. You're going through a trial. You're coming out of a trial. It's one of the three. We're all here. I hope that as we look at these words today, they've encouraged us. They've helped us in our lives to see what God can do and will do with trials in this life to His children. May we stand tonight. Father, I thank You tonight for Jesus. I thank You tonight for His love. Every individual that is gathered here tonight, for them in their heart, Lord. Thank You for Burnout Baptist Church and each member, Lord, that makes it up. I do pray tonight for those that are sick. Lord, so many, I pray You reach down and give strength to them in their lives. Continue to watch over this church, guard her, keep her safe. Lord, tonight we're praying for those that are lost. We hold them up, that Lord, that they might come to know You as their personal Savior, for it's eternally too late. We believe the days of Your coming is drawing nigh. Lord, tonight we know that opportunity is continuing to dwindle away. Lord, even the places where your Spirit tonight is felt so freely in many places are not felt that way anymore. Lord, how urgent it is for people to receive the truth. Lord, thank you for everything you've allowed in our lives. Lord, many times we look back and we say, why? But Lord, we can look back now, even as time comes on, and say, well, Lord, I can see the purpose. Lord, I can see the blessing. Lord, has come out of this. And Father, tonight I ask you to continue to go with each of us, lead and guide and direct, and we may follow thy leadership. And Lord, we'd be careful to give you the honor and glory for all the things you accomplish in our lives. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.